there. God said, go and walk through the land. I have heard God in the last week saying, come walk with me. Last week we had a celebration of Christ's resurrection. Has that impacted your life? That's really the question, isn't it? Has that impacted your life? We're here this morning to praise our God, to be in relationship with one another and to show God's love to each other. Because we are God's people. And God says, come, walk with me. That may mean something different for every last one of you than what it means for me. But God calls us to walk with him and with each other. Please rise. Let's go to God in a moment of prayer. Our Father, we are your people. And this morning, we need your presence. We need you with us every day of our lives. For we have no life without you. And this morning, we ask for your grace, your mercy, and your peace. In the name of your risen Son, amen. And now the praise team will take over, I hope.
Nothing up there.
This morning, for confession and assurance, I want to read a couple of verses out of 1 Timothy. And I'm going to start with what doesn't really sound like confession and assurance, but I'll get there. You know, we go through life, and I want to talk about that later this morning, but we have so many people who think they're Christians because they're good people. And although we have to leave our sins behind us, we do. I mean, if we're sitting here dwelling in our sins, and we grew up, some of us, in a culture, I know I did, where, you know, when it came to communion, we all, oh, you're a terrible person. I'm not sure you're worthy of it. And that's not really God's message at all, is it? God's message is, I have forgiven you freely. And if you think I haven't, you don't understand what I've done. Put your sins behind you. Come walk with me. But the flip side of that is when we get to thinking we're such good moral people that we kind of deserve a place in heaven. And we don't. It's grace. Where Sharon works at school, there is a man who hasn't been to church for a long, 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 long time, and he started going to a church in Oskaloosa that is really growing and reaching out to people and bringing them in, and they got him immediately involved in a Bible study, and he came up to Sharon a couple of weeks ago, and he said, what is grace? Those of us who were raised in the CRC and who went through all the catechism classes and all of the Sunday school classes say unmerited favor. I'm not sure that makes sense anymore in today's world, unmerited favor. But it means that God freely gives you salvation. Wow! Freely. Not because we earned it, not because of anything that we did. Timothy writes this, I urge you then, first of all, that requests, prayers, intercession, thanksgiving be made for everyone, for kings and all those in authority, that we may live peaceful and quiet lives in all godliness and holiness. This is good and pleases God our Savior, who wants all men to be saved and to come to a knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus, who gave himself as a ransom for all men. The testimony given in its proper time. I love that little phrase in there, who wants all men to be saved and to come to a knowledge of the truth. God wants you to know him. God wants to live in relationship with you. God wants to put all of your sins. He sent his son. Jesus died to put all of our sins behind us and to say, we don't own those anymore. I have a bad habit of looking back at my past and thinking of all the things in my life that I have done wrong and all the sins that I have committed and all the people that I have wronged. And letting it bug me. And I know we have to make it right with those that we wrong. But God says, hey, I paid for that. It's done. It's gone. I have washed you as white as snow, and I want you to come to a knowledge of me. Have the children already left for children's church, or are they still here? They're still here? It's time for them to go. We are going to read from 1 Peter this morning, chapter 1, verses 3 through 25. If you want to look that up in your Bible while the children head off to someplace more fun, I guess. Have you ever wanted to go there to find out what happens? Maybe some of you, there was children's church already when you were younger. There wasn't when I was younger. We always were told, no, you learn to sit in the pew. How many of you were here last week? Easter Sunday, wasn't it? Was it a time of rejoicing here? We had a fantastic service back in Oskaloosa. It was a time of great rejoicing. He is alive. Christ is alive. First fruits, right? He was risen from the dead, and we are going to rise. We're going to live forever. My mother's 87 years old now. She broke her hip in January, was back out of the hospital and skilled care for, I think, 2 weeks when she had a stroke, so that she can only say a couple of words now. She really wants to go home. She's back in her house with someone caring for her all the time, but she wants to go home. And by that, she means she wants this life to be ended. And the question I want to leave with all of you when you leave this morning, do you have that assurance? Do you really believe that Jesus died for you? That you are going after this life to the presence of God? Inexpressible joy in the presence of God. 1 Peter 1, verse 3. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade, kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. These have come so that your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes, even though refined by fire, may be proved genuine and may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Though you have not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy, for you are receiving the goal of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Concerning this salvation, the prophets who spoke of the grace that has come to you searched intently and with the greatest care, trying to find out the time and circumstances to which the Spirit of Christ in them was pointing when he predicted the sufferings of Christ and the glories that would follow. It was revealed to them that they were not serving themselves, but you, when they spoke of the things that you have now been told, that things that have now been told you by those who have preached the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven. Even angels long to look into these things. Therefore, prepare your minds for action. Be self-controlled. Set your hope fully on the grace to be given you when Jesus Christ is revealed as obedient children. Do not conform to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance. But just as he who called you is holy, so be holy in all you do. For it is written, "Be holy because I am holy." And since you call on a Father who judges each man's work impartially, live your lives as strangers here in reverent fear, for you know that it was not with perishable things such as silver or gold that you were redeemed from the empty way of life handed down to you by your forefathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect. He was chosen before the creation of the world, but was revealed in these last times for your sake. Through him you believe in God, who raised him from the dead and glorified him, and so your faith and hope are in God. Now that you have purified yourselves by obeying the truth, so that you have sincere love for your brothers, love one another deeply from the heart. For you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and enduring word of God. For all men are like grass, and all their glory is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers, the flowers fall, but the word of the Lord stands forever. And this is the word that was preached to you. You know, we live in a scientific world that continually wants to tell us that there is no spiritual world around us. You're born, you live, you die, and that's it. And then we also have surrounding us a lot of people who think there is really a force or a God. But Jesus wasn't really God. I met an old classmate of mine a couple of months ago. I hadn't seen him since high school days. He was involved with a project. He was a smart kid in school. Wow, he was smart. He always made you feel like you really weren't quite getting it because he was smart. I remember when we had a science fair project, I had put together a solar still so that I had water would evaporate with the sun and then it would catch on the top piece of glass and you could turn salt water into potable, drinkable water. I thought I'd done quite a lot till he showed up with his science experiment. He had an electric eye that when you waved your hand in front of it would set off an engine somewhere and a motor which would open doors. We were both in seventh grade. I was excited just to get drinking water. He was smart. And he still is smart. And after we had met, he requested that we be friends on Facebook, which is a one-sided deal with me because I never post anything. I do check it occasionally. And then I saw what he was posting. And having gone through the Christian education system and being so intelligent, and yet he is into this new age idea that we are all a part of God. And Jesus Christ, well, Jesus of Nazareth, perhaps not Christ, Jesus was a great man and a great teacher, but he's no better than the rest of us, and we're all a part of God. And I look at that and I think, what happened? He heard all the same truths that I heard. He went through all of the same Bible classes. I know he was sent to church every Sunday, and yet at the end of it, he doesn't believe. That's a terrible thing. Jesus says very clearly, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you really knew me, you would know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. I wonder how many people went to Easter morning services and still don't know Jesus. Did you talk to anybody about it this week? I'm learning. I am really learning to do that. To work it into every long conversation that I have. To see if the people I meet know Jesus. It's probably been 25 years ago. We used to do business with Laotians. And we used to sell pigs and calves and chickens to the oceans, and they'd come out and they would butcher them right on our property. And when they butcher an animal, they take it all. He offered me a piece of the rumen out of a calf one time because he said, "This is really good to eat and you're missing out on." I'm like, "No. I see what that looks like." And so there were a group of them who were one time butchering a calf there, and I was watching them do this, and I could almost hear God saying to me, "Talk to them about God. Talk to them about Jesus. Ask them if they have an eternal destination, if they know where they're going. Talk to them." And I just stood there. You ever been in that situation? You don't dare? And so I bet I had stood there for probably 10 minutes, not saying a word, and one of them looks up at me, and he said, "Do you know Jesus as your Savior?" You know, I think he passed the test. I didn't. Last evening, our neighbor came and knocked on our door. It's a neighbor that I'm concerned about. I talked to him about God last night. It's not that hard. Most people will listen. There are a lot of people in this world who think they're moral and they think that they're going to go to heaven and they really don't understand the gospel. There's a businessman here in Des Moines who used to be a pretty important guy. I met him once, talked to him on the phone a couple of times. He was a silent partner in a business that Sharon and I purchased. And he thought about continuing to be a silent partner, and then he decided not to. And he was pretty famous nationwide. I saw an interview with him on the internet. And he was talking about when he was a businessman, he went to church every Sunday, but he really didn't know Jesus as his Savior. He didn't know that he needed a Savior. He did not understand the story of the resurrection. He didn't understand what Easter was all about. And he figured that when he died and he got to heaven, God would just be happy to let him in because of who he was. He said, "And I always was moral in my business dealings. I didn't cheat anyone. I did what was right." He thought God owed him. He thought God owed him a place in heaven. He said, "I've come to see that that was wrong. The only way you're going to make it into eternal life is if you know that Jesus died to pay for your sins, because you're a sinner and you don't belong in God's kingdom until you're washed in his blood." I was asking the 7th and 8th graders this week, "How do you show you love God?" About half of the kids in the room at the most, I haven't really counted out, about half of them at the most are Christian Reformed. The rest of them are from other denominations. I got the answer that I expected to get from the Christian Reformed kids. Not the answer I wanted to hear, but the answer I expected to get by now. And we've been over this and over it again and again, because when you ask them, how do you show that you love God? Their answer will always be, we go to church on Sunday. We sing in church. We pray in church. Is that how you show you love God? Just here this morning? I asked him, what is the second commandment that's like the first? And we've memorized that a few times. We've even learned it in Hebrew. But the answer I got was, don't make any idols. Yeah, that's part of it. But is that how we show that we believe, just coming here this morning? Because I know that none of you think that, but we're leaving that impression with our kids in Oskaloosa. I don't know how you're doing here. I hope that you are doing a whole lot better and saying, hey, we've got to get out in that world. We've got to love those people out there because God loves them. If we believe that Jesus died for our sins, if we believe that there is a heaven and there is a hell, we need to be out there showing love, and we need to be out there doing what God commanded us to do, what Jesus said. Jesus said, a new command I give you, love one another. That changes how I live and what I do. It changes how I live in relationship with God, and it changes how I live in relationship with those around me. We were listening while we could still get it as we came this way, Kevin Corver preaching at Third this morning in Pella. And he made this statement, and I thought, wow, that is so true. If you are the same today in your relationship with God that you were 5 years ago, you don't know Jesus. What do you think about that? If you're the same today as you were 5 years ago, and you haven't grown, and you haven't gotten to know God any better, and your life hasn't changed, do you know Jesus? Do you believe? I know I've changed a lot in the last 5 years. Some people might not think it's for the better. But I have seen God at work, and I have seen the things that God has done, and my heart breaks for those who do not know God. Jesus came and he walked on those dusty roads of Palestine. And he showed us that we need to love one another. We need to live as God wants us to live. And we have to take our world and we have to turn it upside down. I actually had a seventh grader ask me the other day what we would use for money in heaven. I said, I don't think you'll need any money. What? God's going to give you everything that you need. You won't need any money. You know, we get caught up in this world and we get caught up in our culture, and pretty soon we let things around us and those around us tell us how we should be living. We shouldn't fit in. If we really believe that Jesus died for our sins, if we really believe that we serve the God who gave the Israelites manna in the wilderness every day what they needed, it should change how we live and how we see our world and how we deal with others around us. It should make a difference in how we think. If we really believe that there is a God who loves us so much that he sent his son to die for us, it should change all of our actions. Every day, it should impact our lives. Peter tells us we have a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. We have a hope that no one else has who does not know Jesus as their Savior. But there are a lot of people in our world who don't know that. And there are a lot of people who are sitting in the pews and in the seats in churches who don't know that. They read through the Bible and they still think that maybe God owes them a spot in heaven. I remember when Tony, the international student who lived with us for 2.5 years, was coming to know about God. He finally decided, yes, there is a God. I know there is a God. Even back in China, I knew there had to be something more. That's the wonderful thing about it. God has put a hole inside of all of us that only God can fill. We have a need to know there is something more than this. But he said, I know there's a God, but I don't owe him anything. There's a lot of people this morning in churches who know the gospel, but they think they don't owe God anything. And they could not be farther from the truth. I sometimes wonder why God loves me. Loves me enough to be involved in my life. Loves me enough to straighten me out when I do wrong. And I can remember back 20 years ago, when there were times I wasn't sure if I was bound for heaven, even though I had been taught that since I was a baby. Now I have no doubt. Now I know beyond the shadow of a doubt that God's got a place for me. And my prayer this morning is that every last one of you here this morning has that same assurance beyond the shadow of a doubt that God loves you, not because of what you have done, not because of who you are, but He loves you because you're simply His child and He sent His Son to die for you. Why are you in this world? I asked the kids, I said, why did your parents have you? And you always want to be cautious when you ask a question of junior high students. Because the first answer I got back was, well, it was a mistake, but they got married. Why did your parents? Because they loved you. They wanted to love you, right? That's why we have children. We have children because we want to love them. That's why God made you. To love you. And that's why He sent His Son to die. To save you. Do you believe that? Do you believe that so much that down deep in your heart, beyond the shadow of a doubt, if you died today, you know that God would be waiting to take you into His arms and saying, "Welcome home, my child. Welcome home." Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we ask, Lord, that You will give every person here today an assurance of salvation. In Jesus' name, amen. He has prayer yet. Are there any announcements at this time?
Well, first quick announcement. In the bulletin, it lists that there is no Sunday school today. That's a misprint. There is Sunday school, so they could be looking for an excuse. They don't have one anymore. Secondly, an update from the search committee. As you've probably all heard, Pastor Tyson took a call to Brandon, Mississippi, so we were disappointed in that. Keep our committee in prayer. We are working hard, we can assure you. I know sometimes it probably seems like, what exactly is this committee doing? You haven't heard an update, but we meet usually every 2 weeks, sometimes more frequently. So we're having another meeting tomorrow night, and hopefully everyone's still there. It might just be me showing up to the committee, but I hope not. And lastly, we had our Awana celebration this past Wednesday, and I failed to recognize two people, Mike and Laura Meyer. Where's Laura? Kevin, Laura, can you name quick, please? I just want to publicly recognize Mike and Laura. I forgot to do this Wednesday night. They helped out with games in Awana this year. We were just meeting, we split the time. They did a very good job stepping in this year. This is their first year helping out, so let's please show our appreciation.
I have a new member announcement to make, and a little bit of background. I know that the bosses and now the anticipating the announcement of their official members of the church. Unfortunately, it takes a while. The process is you submit it to your previous council. They have their meeting and approve it. It comes to us. We have it at our meeting, and we finally get it done. So we're thankful. The bosses are here, and the Frankies are here. Laura and DJ, would you please stand? We want to welcome you. We live in Osceola. Almost every Sunday here, we're pleased to welcome you to our congregation here at Crossroads. Thank you.
Please rise. People of God, go out into your world knowing that you serve a risen Savior who died for you so that you can have eternal life and walk with your God. Amen.